Welcome to Blacksburg Walks. Warning, by downloading or streaming the audio walks, you agree to hold Virginia Tech and its employees and agents, as well as the creators of these audio walks, harmless from any and all claims of liability that may arise from your utilization of this project. This shall extend to all liabilities, including personal injury and property damages. Please use caution while walking along and crossing streets. Be extra careful since you are wearing headphones. Stay alert to any possible incident as you would when walking on any other occasion. My name is Charlotte. I'm an agriculture and applied economics major at Virginia Tech, with a focus in environmental, economic management, civic agriculture, and food systems. I'm originally from Culpeper, Virginia, which is a town similar to Blacksburg, but without a college. On our walk today, I will take you on a journey through the culture of food in Blacksburg, which has been influenced by the instant gratification generation. You'll be presented with the development of the fast food industry, convenience stores, 24-hour operations, and how these entities have shaped the food community surrounding Virginia Tech. I challenge you to ponder this label of instant gratification generation and how the industry has had an effect in your life as you go through this walk. If you'd like, you may take this walk during the evening or nighttime to get the full effect of night culture. Please be aware of your surroundings and never take the walk alone at night. To start off, you can have a seat in front of Dietrich Hall. As I'm sure you can see, there are students walking in and out of all of the doors of Dietrich Hall. This is one of the busiest buildings on campus. With three dining halls and a general store located within, you can find students in this building from 7 a.m. to 2:30 a.m. Wait, what? 2:30 in the morning? You heard right. You can see the sign for D-Express on the lower right side of the building. This is the campus's fast food restaurant, and it serves at almost any time of the day. You might be wondering why students need this to be open so late. Plainly put, students are very busy, balancing classes, homework, student activities, jobs, and free time. Many college students don't have a lot of time for eating, so they demand either fast food or access to food at a later hour. Besides D-Express offering prepared food until 2:30 a.m., you can get dessert at Dietz Place or school supplies and groceries at the general store until 12 a.m. If you're not into eating late, but you're looking for a job, Dietrich can help you out as well. With many night shifts starting after classes have ended, you don't have to schedule work in between classes. As a student, I have enjoyed the benefits of working late at night at DX, especially because I can get my schoolwork done during the day and make money at night to support myself. Not only does DX give students the opportunity to make money, but it also offers opportunities for leadership experience through various management positions. Michelle Berry is a student manager at D-Express. She enjoys many benefits from being able to work so late.
My name is Michelle. I'm from Culpeper, Virginia. I'm majoring in agriculture and applied economics. Sophomore. The best benefit would be the extra dollar an hour you get for every hour that you worked. And then it is nice because that late at night, I mean, there's no classes that are going on at 2:30, 3 in the morning. So you get to have your classes during the day, your work at night. But at the same time, it's really difficult when you have early classes to work so late at night and then get up in the morning.
She has also developed valuable life skills and is sympathetic for students who don't take the opportunity to work.
I guess having a job has definitely benefited money because I do have like my car payment and whatnot, so if I didn't have a job, I definitely would not be able to pay my bills. And having a job helps with time management because you have to know the balance between work and school and like when you can do this and when you can't do that, and you learn to prioritize and realize you can't go out and do this or that because you have to do schoolwork or you have to go to work, etc. I believe that students that don't have jobs are at the disadvantage because they're, you know, once they get out of college, they're not going to be used to, you know, managing their time as well or paying bills or anything like that. And as far as, I mean, it's a disadvantage. Like, I, you know, I don't go out and I don't do much because I work so often. But I'm also, like, I've learned to save my money. I've learned to manage my time a lot better. And I know when I have to get my work done.
There are many differences between living and working on campus versus home life. She can even take care of her grocery shopping on campus.
Well, living on campus, it's definitely more accessible than back home as far as, you know, I have DX that's open until 2:30 or 2 in the morning, and it's, you know, a 30-second walk from where I live. Back home, I feel, you know, depending on where I'm at, like from my house, you know, it's the closest restaurant that's going to be open at all, you know, past 10 o'clock is 8 to 10 miles away. Well, I actually do most of my shopping at DX because I get a lot of meal passes every time I work, so I don't actually have to buy lunch the next day or whatnot. So I find myself often going to DX to get, you know, like milk and cereal and chips and whatnot. And I don't really go to the general store very often because it's kind of expensive, but I definitely go to D-Express a lot.
Having access to food and a job right next to where I live is awesome. I don't even have to pay for travel costs. But there is a dark side to late-night dining and employment. Not only are students affected by the midnight hour, but society as a whole has become accustomed to the 24-hour culture. What could possibly be wrong with having the world run 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year? How can being awake all night long affect you, me, and your neighborhood store? Let's continue east down the stairs towards Roanoke Street. As you get up, you'll hear the sound of D-Express at night. Doesn't it sound busy? We can compare the need for D-Express to our desire as a society to have everything whenever we please, hence the label Instant Gratification Generation. Instant gratification is defined as instant satisfaction or the quick attainability of happiness, and that describes our society today to a T. Whether it's the newest video game, or the ability to get a chili cheese dog when we're craving one at 1 a.m., we have access to everything all the time. Until recently, most of the human race has barely been able to supply ourselves individually with enough food to sustain our daily needs. Now, with the abundance and access of food, many people are overweight, and the 24-hour food industry has had a large influence on this. Disadvantage number one to late-night dining. Disadvantage number two, the human race is not a nocturnal species. So being awake late at night is detrimental to our health. Having abnormal sleeping patterns for just 1 week increases your risk of heart disease. And eating late at night can set you up for some pretty nasty stomach problems. Disadvantage number three to late night dining. For those of us who work late at night, or even work shifts that constantly change, a disease called shift maladaptation syndrome can develop. Some of the major symptoms include chronic sleeping disorders, cardiovascular disease, gastrointestinal disorders, mood disorders, and we are more susceptible to chronic illness. These symptoms don't develop right away, but after numerous years of shift work, employees will start to be affected. You should now be well on your way to Roanoke Street. Have you gone through the Pedro Yates and New Residence Hall's archways yet? Is Newman Hall on your right now? You will cross the street into a small lawn area with sidewalks. Continue on that path, which is directly connected to the crosswalk. Follow this towards Roanoke Street. When living on campus, students have it pretty easy. With 11 dining locations to choose from, they never have to worry about finding food. What happens to those who move off campus? In 2009, Virginia Tech Dining Services reported 9,400 off-campus students purchased dining plans, which exceeds the number of on-campus meal plan holders. For those who do not purchase meal plans, they have a diverse food environment to choose from. With 14 grocers, a year-round farmer's market, 47 convenience stores, and 73 restaurants, it would be hard to starve even after moving off campus. Some students have found that they enjoy the benefits of having their own kitchen. They enjoy cooking for themselves and friends. With Virginia Tech having such a diverse campus, students who have strong ethnic backgrounds enjoy sharing tastes of their homeland, and having their own kitchen enables them to prepare traditional meals for their peers. Marco Hernandez is from San Diego and comes from a Hispanic background. He has been living off campus and is going to tell us about the challenges of being a student and running a household kitchen at the same time.
My name is Marco Hernandez. I'm a sophomore at Virginia Tech. I am currently studying mechanical engineering. I'm from San Diego, California.
He has had to adapt to the different types of food on the East Coast compared to the West Coast.
Being from California, the food is very different, and especially from Southern California. And I was with my name, Hernandez. I am Hispanic, so I have to find ways to adapt to the different food lifestyle here than back home.
Many people may not think that there's a huge difference in eating habits between on-campus students and off-campus students, but Marco has noticed a difference.
After moving off campus, my eating habits have changed quite a bit. Back in, on campus last year, the dining halls were right there, so I could just go and get my food whenever, fast, easy, already made, really quick. But here, I definitely want to buy a meal plan for next year, because I don't honestly have enough time to be making all my meals, or if I'm at school for all the day, I may not eat until 5.
Since his eating patterns have changed, he found that it's cheaper to cook at home than to order out or get delivery.
I tend to cook at home a lot more than I eat out, mainly because I just don't have the money to be eating out all the time, and I can just buy food in bulk and like pasta or something like that, and I can just eat pasta for like 3 days in a row. Just bread and peanut butter jelly, lunch meat, there you go. It's, for me, it's easier and cheaper, again, because I'm being out of state, so I need to like budget everything as much as I can. So it's easier for me to cook food and it's cheaper. Order delivery maybe 4 times a month, not that often really, not as much as normally. If I do, it's because, you know, I've been drinking or something, so, you know, the way college student is, we gotta order pizza or something with our beer, so that's when it is. But it's never, I never order out, take out just for myself. It's always a group of friends, and we're like, let's pitch in money for a pizza, or, you know, DP Dough, you know, one of the other places around here, and that's how I get it.
Having places open 24 hours a day, such as Kroger or 7-Eleven, really helps off-campus students even more than it helped them when they lived on campus.
Having Kroger open 24 hours a day helps me so much, because I can't, I plan, my schoolwork all comes first, so I plan everything else around that. I can't be doing with opposite, like planning schoolwork around all my chores and grocery shopping and cleaning. So, you know, I'll have to go grocery shopping at 10 or 11 o'clock at night, just because it's the only time I really can. I've even gone like at 1 in the morning once. It's the easiest thing. I love it, because back home we don't have grocery stores open 24 hours. But then again, we don't have a college campus right next to us. So it's very beneficial. I definitely see myself visiting 7-Eleven and Kroger, you know, places that are open so late or 24 hours that are right nearby because they're so convenient. I lived in Waterhall last year, So we did have 7-Eleven nearby, but I had the dining dollar, so I just eat there and not really waste my money. But, you know, I'm a big gum chewer, so every morning, or not every morning, but every day I chew gum. So when I run out, which is about like once every 2 weeks, I have to go buy gum at 7-Eleven. It's just, I know, it's bad addiction, but oh well, it's just gum though. But sometimes I'll, in the morning, it's like, oh, I'm hungry, taquitos, burrito rollers, hot dogs from there. It's cheap, and I know it'll always be there. So, yeah, it is definitely beneficial to have those places open, because it's very convenient. Especially, you know, I don't have a car, and so I have to walk to a lot of places, because we're at my house on Rose Drive. We're off Tom's Creek, but Tom's Creek doesn't run down Tom's Creek, the bus. It doesn't run down the street after 6. So, it's like I have to decide by then if I want to go get food somewhere or if I need to go to the groceries. Otherwise, I have to borrow my roommate's car.
After you approach Roanoke Street, continue on Roanoke until you have reached the intersection with Draper Road. When standing near the intersection, look for the 7-Eleven. Have you found it? Now, look across to the left corner. There's a space for the year-round farmer's market. Take a moment to let your eyes and your mind wander over this contrasting setting in Blacksburg's downtown structure. Pause for a moment when you reach the corner. Have you ever wondered why someone really needs to go grocery shopping at midnight? With Kroger and Walmart open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, everyone doesn't need to plan when they're going to go grocery shopping because they can do it whenever they have free time, even if it's at 2 a.m. Has society become so busy that we cannot take a minute to plan out our weekly grocery trip? There are alternatives. Just look at the farmer's market. It sells fresh, local produce every Saturday and Wednesday. One could get almost all the needs of the week by going to the market. It requires only a little pre-planning, because the date and time are already set. Why can't these midnight shoppers just go then? 7-Eleven may have had something to do with this mentality. The mentality that we have developed for 24-hour access to food. In 1927, Southland Ice Company was founded in Dallas, Texas. Not only did this small company sell blocks of ice to refrigerate food, but one associate decided to sell milk, eggs, and bread to customers when normal grocery stores were closed. Here is the birth of the convenience store. After a few years, they renamed the business to Totem because their products could literally be toted away. In 1946, they revolutionized the market again. The store hours changed to be open from 7 a.m. to 11 p.m., 7 days a week. So ensued the name change. After that, they continued pioneering the market, opening the first 24-hour convenience store in 1963, serving fresh brewed coffee in to-go cups, selling prepaid phone cards, and offering all brands of fountain soda in one entity. Today, they operate over 36,000 stores worldwide, with 8,000 in the United States alone. As a result, 25% of Americans live within 1 mile of a 7-Eleven. Talk about a convenience store. What is it that they're selling that's so convenient? Imagine colorful stands of the farmer's market on one side and the colorful rows of the convenience store on the other. What lifestyle, what community, and what values does convenience refer to? We will now continue down Roanoke Street until we reach Main Street. Walk a block and a half or so while listening, and you'll find yourself in front of DP Dough. The delivery industry is a large market and is still growing in today's society. When you think of college students, you might get the image of late-night pizza deliveries. When friends and I get together during the week to study or on the weekend to hang out, we often find ourselves ordering delivery of some kind because we don't have the time to cook food for ourselves as a group. It's very convenient because we won't have to take time out of our study session to cook food or drive to get it. So, where did this industry start? After World War II in Europe, the idea of delivering meals to damaged homes was formulated by the Women's Volunteer Service. In the U.S., Philadelphia was the first to deliver meals to elderly and homebound citizens. These meals were mostly home-cooked and delivered by personal vans. The commercialized delivery system we know and love today began developing in the 1950s with the emergence of pizza delivery. The service shifted from helping those who couldn't help themselves to serving people who were able-bodied but didn't seem to have time to get food. Today, the leading pizza delivery franchise is Domino's Pizza. In 2009, their revenue exceeded $1.3 billion. During the 1960s, other foods experimented with the delivery option, the most successful being Chinese food. According to surveys, over the next 10 years, the delivery industry will increase by 20% because consumers will want more prepared meals delivered to their homes. Eating in will become the new eating out. The industry has already begun to grow beyond the traditional pizza and Chinese food delivery. Delivery is spreading through all cuisines and structures of restaurants. The National Restaurant Association recently conducted a survey of traditional sit-down restaurants, which showed 6 to 12% of their total sales are now from delivery or takeout. In Blacksburg, you can get almost anything delivered. Jimmy John's has scrumptious sandwiches, Moe's can provide food for your fiesta, Backstreet's can satisfy your pasta passion, DP Dough has some crazy calzone concoctions, and for those late-night cookie cravings, Campus Cookies has you covered. What a variety. Think about where you're from, and compare the food delivery that you're aware of. Are they mostly chain restaurants, or do many local restaurants offer delivery services? As you compare, we can continue walking up Main Street for 0.2 miles until we reach Turner Street. Make a left onto Turner, and our final destination will be a block on the right, underneath the Golden Arches. Blacksburg likes to embrace their history just as any town does. As you go along Main Street, you're passing many storefronts and restaurant windows. Feel free to peek into them. Do you see where Sharky's is located on the corner of North Main and College Avenue? This building, called the Ellett Building, has been around since 1900. It has been a restaurant, a drugstore, and a hotel. On the other side, Moe's was a drugstore until the 1990s. It has also been a music store, a clothing store, and a bank. In Blacksburg, right after the Civil War, the only outlets for food were 4 dry goods stores and 1 grocer. Once Virginia Tech started to develop, the mess hall became the first restaurant in Blacksburg, which was first documented in 1892. It is no longer standing, but was located adjacent to where Schultz Dining Hall is now, which is on your left as you travel up Main Street. From the history of these buildings, you might be surprised that they are now restaurants, but it just goes to show how the demand has changed over the years. Students enjoy the downtown atmosphere, where they can shop, eat, and drink in a socially friendly environment. The younger generation enjoys mingling with others, and restaurants create the perfect atmosphere for them. This may seem a little strange, because earlier you heard about the generation of instant gratification. And as I mentioned, it seems as society has shifted from the culture of sitting at a table together to grab and go and eat in the car. But students have developed this system of multitasking by scheduling social hangout time around food. I have scheduled many lunches and dinners with friends just because that is the only time I can hang out with them. Haven't you? We can have our food quickly and enjoy each other's company before we have to get back to our busy lives. While we cherish our social time, do you think we cherish the food on our plates just as much? So, if we like to have our meals with our friends, how did society develop into a fast food nation? Surprisingly, the first concept of a fast food restaurant started back in 1880, when the railroad emerged as a major mode of transportation. Small sandwich shops at the train stops would have quick lunches which customers could carry back onto the train if there wasn't enough time to eat at the stop. In the 1920s, there was a flood of women into white-collar occupations. This triggered the need for quick lunches because the women were no longer at home to make lunch. Street cart vendors were a common sight in cities. Soon, these vendors began buying storefronts to sell their products. They then began obsessing over quick, uniform, quality products, cleanliness, and good customer service. These would become the standards of fast food restaurants around the nation. There were a few chain restaurants that popped up during the 1920s, such as White Castle and A&W Root Beer, but these companies didn't really develop outside of their local areas. When the Depression hit, the restaurant industry really didn't grow. But in 1940, the McDonald brothers opened a barbecue shack in Santa Barbara, California, which featured car hops and a large variety of menu items. After becoming popular, the brothers closed the barbecue restaurant because they had a new idea. When they reopened in 1948 as McDonald's Burgers, the menu had been cut to 9 items and the car hops were eliminated. Customers now walked up to the window, ordered their food, and carried it back to their cars. To churn out burgers at such a fast pace, the brothers had turned their restaurant into a food assembly line, with workers assigned to specific stations to perform the same task over and over again. As a result, from World War II, we began developing more efficient technology to use in eateries. Accompanied with new food preparation and preservation methods, the life of food had been extended. To make the fast food industry uniform, owners adopted 4 basic guidelines: efficiency, calculability, predictability, and control. They achieved optimal productivity by using the ever-changing technology. This is also known as a McDonaldized system, which has specific preparation procedures that must be followed. Quantity is viewed as an equivalent to quality, more equals better. The preparation process and time must be better than human labor alone, and similar products must be sold in all locations. In 1954, Ray Kroc ventured to the McDonald brothers with his Malto mixer, which can make up to 8 milkshakes at once. On this sales trip, Ray Kroc got something more than just a mixer purchase. The brothers were interested in franchising. Kroc liked the idea of spreading this fast, successful operation to the rest of the nation. In 1955, he opened the first franchise McDonald's in Des Plaines, Illinois. By 1959, the 100th franchise store had opened. As suburbia developed and people began living fast-paced, informal lifestyles, they demanded fast, convenient food, and the market responded rapidly with new conveniences popping up almost every day. The market also began to diversify. With the emergence of Kentucky Fried Chicken, Taco Bell, and Arby's, you could get more than just a hamburger, fries, and a shake. By 1975, McDonald's added breakfast to their menu, so you could go for any meal you wanted. This extended the normal operating hours from 6 a.m. to 11 p.m. But it wasn't until the late 1990s or early 2000s that the first 24-hour restaurant was opened. But the number of 24-hour restaurants increased rapidly thereafter. Was society developing into an all-night culture before the 2000s? Why do you think there was no heavy demand for 24-hour McDonald's sooner? As you have seen and heard throughout this walk, the little town of Blacksburg has not avoided the ups and downs of society's transition to a 24-hour culture. Do you think Blacksburg would have been significantly different without the influence of the college? Or do you think it would have kept up with the rest of the country and developed in a similar way? With students having so many tasks at hand, it seems almost beneficial that there are so many late-night resources for students, whether they need food or a job. But what is really keeping students and society so busy that we can no longer value the time for meals? Why are some people so busy during the day that they cannot work a job unless it's at night? And how is this affecting their health? As society, we might all want to look at how our lifestyles have changed over the years and see if there's a better way to go about our daily lives. Maybe we should slow down or take on less activities. Our ancestors seemed to get along just fine without a 24/7 Walmart. Thank you for taking my audio walk of the 24-hour instant gratification generation. I encourage you to look further into the 24-hour society. Think of what you have learned, all the topics brought up, and observe the late-night culture around you. I encourage you to sit outside of D-Express or downtown on any given night. Observe how the students utilize the 24/7 industry and see if you can spot any local residents out and about at all hours of the night. Step back and take a look at your late-night patterns. Do you find yourself grocery shopping at 11 p.m. because you couldn't fit it into your weekend schedule? Are you up at 5 a.m. driving through McDonald's for your morning coffee and egg McMuffin? I challenge you to plan out a whole week of your mealtime, grocery shopping time, and other activities and see how well you can stick to it. Make sure to schedule in some sit-down mealtime. You might find out that you have a little more time than you thought, and it could help slow down your lifestyle in today's fast-paced world. And next time you find yourself at a late-night restaurant or business, take a minute to thank the workers for being there to serve you when you needed it. They would expect you to do the same during any regular day.